Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome all of my UCA members and visitors. Welcome to this edition of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. Keep in mind that UCA stands for United Christian Ambassadors. So if you are a believer, a true follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a lover of Jesus Christ, then you are indeed an ambassador for Christ. So welcome, and all of our visitors too, those that are listening from their computers and those who have dialed in. So just welcome you all, okay? I'm your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. And our services starts at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. Once again, it's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786, and our services starts at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. All right, so right now I'd like for you guys to text or call or go to your inbox and inbox all of your friends and family members and tell them to dial in to this special edition of UCA Radio. We have a really good message for you today, and you don't want to miss it. You wouldn't want anyone else to miss it either. The number to dial in, 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Give them that phone number. Or if they don't want to dial in, they can listen from their computer on Facebook, Twitter, Alignable, or Instagram. Wherever you see the post for this particular show, you can click on the picture or the link. Now, on Facebook, you can click on the picture, and you can click on it today, right now, and all this week, even after the show is over. You can still click on it and hear the entire program, okay? So go ahead and do that. Remember that I have a book that's available on Amazon, and you can also get it at Barnes & Noble. You can order it from Barnes & Noble. It's called Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. Very, very good book, and I believe you'll be blessed once you start reading it. You will grow in your spirit. You will actually begin to start knowing who God is. You know, we can only scrape the surface on that, but at least God unveils a little something to us so that we can get an idea or an understanding of who he is, so that we can love him better. Remember, we have a webpage, churchofjesuschristministry.com. That's www.churchofjesuschristministry.com. Go ahead and go there. When you get on that website, just look to your left. You'll see three lines. Click on those lines, and you can navigate throughout the entire webpage, okay? Navigate. Go to where it says books, and it'll lead you to Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery, and you can click where it says click, and it takes you right to Amazon so you can order the book, okay? So do that if you want to do that, or you can go straight to Amazon, either way you want to, or straight to Barnes & Noble, okay? You can also, on the website, you can click where it says media. And where it says media, you can click on to The Message of Life with T. Myron Tasila McCain. We're on hsbn.tv. When you go there and click on media, it will take you to hsbn.tv, where you will see our program, The Message of Life, with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. And you can always watch us on YouTube. You can either put T. Meyer and Tasila McCain, or just put my name, T. Meyer McCain. That's spelled T-I-E-M-E-Y-E-R. T. Meyer McCain, M-C-C-A-I-N. And it'll pop up for you. You'll see it. The Message of Life with Pastor T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. Okay, so we're on many other apps as well, you know, even on iHeartRadio, so you'll catch us in wherever, okay? So, but you can do it that way really quick. So let's see if there's anything else I want to say. No, that's about it. So just stay right there. When we come back, we're going to get right into the message for today. So don't go away. Praise the Lord.
Eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
Yes. Don't you want to see him? I do too. I want to see him in his full glory. Praise the Lord. You're listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I'm Pastor T. Meyer McCain, and we're going to get right into our message for today. The message for today is entitled, The Mender of Broken Hearts. The Mender of Broken Hearts. When a person is wounded physically, it takes time for the wound to heal. In time, God's automatic healing process that he has placed within us when we were created will step in, the automatic process that he's placed in us. However, some wounds need assistance. Like, for example, when you are wounded and you go to the hospital, the surgeons may have to operate on you and then set you aside to be healed. And if the body's healing or mending mechanism is too slow, then God steps in to speed up the process and completely heals you. He mends the wound. Well, it's the same in the spirit realm. When your spirit is torn, your soul is ripped, it needs healing, a healing in your mind or heart. When the heart is wounded, time usually heals the wound. However, there are times when not even time can heal a broken heart. Once again, that's when the Lord has to step in and mend the broken heart. He is the mender of broken hearts, as it is written in Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. So whether it is a physical healing of the heart, a spiritual healing of the heart, or an emotional healing, just know that God is the mender of broken hearts. He's the mender of broken hearts. Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Jesus went around healing broken hearts. People's hearts are broken when they have a loved one who has a very serious illness. It's heartbreaking to see that. The heart of the sick person needs healing because of their suffering, and they want to be healed. And the loved ones of the sick person needs healing as well. Those who care for them, they need healing. Their hearts are broken. When Jesus healed the sick, he also heals the broken hearts of the loved ones around the person who was sick, their family and friends. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. You see, when he healed every sickness and disease among the people, not only the people that were sick, not only their hearts were mended, but the hearts of those that loved them was mended. You see, God anointed Jesus, as it is written in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And then Jesus anoints us. He will be with us once we are fully and completely, and I mean totally anointed with that sevenfold anointing of Holy Spirit and fire power, which is the seven spirits of God resting upon us forever. Then we can and will mend broken hearts, just like Jesus did, because we will be able to say these very words, like Jesus said when he read in Isaiah 61, verse 1. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison, the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Many things can cause a broken heart. Many things can cause a broken heart. Like, for example, when your husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, or wife, or fiance is unfaithful to you, it hurts. When you find out that they've been unfaithful, it really hurts. It breaks your heart. Also, when you find out that you were pregnant and your parents or husband or boyfriend tells you to abort the baby, something that you really don't want to do or you didn't want to do, but they told you to abort the baby, and you went on and did what they said. You aborted the baby because they wanted you to. Your heart is broken. That breaks a person's heart. When you feel that your parents, if you come to a situation where you can see or you feel that your parents don't really love you, it breaks your heart. When you find out a friend doesn't really love you, they betrayed you, it broke your heart. It breaks your heart. Another thing, for example, if you were in line for a big promotion in your job, and you were ready for it, you were prepared for it, you knew you were going to get it, and then with no explanation, they give that position to someone less qualified. It hurt you so much. It broke your heart that all you could do is simply cry. You just cry because you really thought you were going to get that. Your heart is broken. When your heart is broken, it can lead to all kinds of things. Understand that. It can lead to all kinds of things like sicknesses, fear, fear of even getting into another relationship, fear of getting hurt again, or depression, anger, hopelessness, confusion, and oppression. These are the tools that Satan uses to pull you down. Bring your soul to the ground and take your faith, your hope, your strength, and your joy. Many people have committed suicide because they had broken hearts. That's true. Many have committed suicide because of a broken heart, broken spirits, and broken souls. It is such a deep depression and confusion that they start to hear either demon voices telling them that they are no good, your family and friends will be better off with you dead, or these spirits put subliminal suggestions in your mind. And these demon voices are tormenting spirits. When that happens, when people say, "Oh, I heard voices," those are tormenting spirits, and they keep you confused and in bondage to the depression. They feel like it makes you feel like you can't escape. You just can't escape it. These voices, they want relief. So they begin to obey the voices and entertain the thoughts of suicide. This is really something very serious, because a lot of times these thoughts of suicide, it comes from a broken heart. Many situations, not every situation, but many situations, it comes from a broken heart. Certain medicines can cause medical or suicidal thoughts, and it can take you into unbelievable depression where people may appear okay on the outside, but they are in torment on the inside. And this has led many into killing themselves. Many. I heard a Christian speaking on television the other day. He was talking about how he was tormented by these spirits for him to commit suicide. They kept talking to him and he just kept hearing it, that they wanted him to kill himself. He said it was unbelievably strong, these strong impressions, these voices, and powerful thoughts, that he was literally about to do it. But thanks be to God, he came out of it. Satan will use anything to get you into bondage, to do his will, and he will use a broken heart. He'll kick you when you're down. With the broken heart, Satan can cause people to kill, hate, destroy people's lives, bear false witness, be violent towards anyone or just be mean to people, to the place that no one likes you, which leads you into depression. And depression is a prison. It's bondage. Many things can cause your hearts to be broken. I had a friend that lived in Canada. Her mother was very, very sick. She was in the hospital. She was in so much pain. It was so bad. Her mother was in so much pain, and it was so bad that her mother begged my friend to pull the plug and just let her die. The mother couldn't take it anymore. It was too much pain, and it was weighing on my friend's heart. It was hard for her to visit her mother, seeing her mother in so much pain. The doctors couldn't help her with all of their medicine because it wasn't stopping the pain. So after a very long time, my friend finally did it. She pulled the plug, and her mother died. When the rest of her family found out, they were furious. So they literally kicked her out of the family. They were furious with her. She was broken. She cried like a baby as she told me her story. She had left Canada to try to get a new start in Los Angeles, but everything went wrong for her. People misused her and abused her. Then one day she just called me up. I thought she had left Los Angeles a long time ago, but then I found out she was still there because she called me up and wanted to talk. Well, by that time, I had given my heart to the Lord, and I told her that if I come to you, I'm bringing my Bible with me. And she said, well, I think I'm going to need that right now. So I went and ministered to her, and I prayed for her, and I told her, we talked for a long time. And I told her to go back to her family. Leave Los Angeles. Go back to your family. Go back to Canada. When she went back home, it was like night or day. It was like night and day. Her family was happy to see her. They embraced her and showed a lot of love. The next time I went to Canada, I saw her. She looked healthy and clean. She had a little baby girl that was so cute. This girl, my friend, was so happy as she told me how her family received her again. She had a good job and a really nice place where she was living, some good transportation. She was doing very well. Her heart was mended. That's why we must hold on to the Lord, as difficult as it might be. Still, during difficult times in our lives, continue to pray and keep the lines of communication open to our great God and Father. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Satan will tear you down, but God will sustain you. As it is written in Psalm chapter 55, verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be removed or the righteous to be moved. One of the hardest things to do is to keep your mind stayed on Jesus when you have a broken heart. It's really hard, I know, but if you truly do that, and if you can stand on his word, you will see that it works. Isaiah 26, verse 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusteth in you. We keep our mind stayed on him, and we continue to trust in him. He will keep you and mend your broken heart. Like I said, Satan likes to use that broken heart so that he can get into your life and just cause a lot of mess to bring you down. He kicks you when you're down. We need the peace of Jesus Christ in this hour more than ever because he is the Prince of Peace, and he wants to give us his peace. as it is written in John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Take hold of his peace. His peace is shalom. Shalom, which means many things. Shalom means peace, God's peace. When we use the word shalom, it means harmony, wholeness, completeness, prosperity, welfare, and safety, even now, because his peace, his shalom, is what helps us to endure many things. John 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We go through times when we need an extra measure of peace in our lives. But in order to get his peace, we must trust him. As it is written in Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Think about it. Refuge means shelter or protection from danger. God is our shelter, our protector. Therefore, we must strengthen ourselves and encourage ourselves in the Lord and hold on to his word and stand on it. Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You might say when or if you are going through a heartbreak of some kind, you might say something to me, you may say these words to me. Yes, Pastor T, that's easy for you to say, but you're not feeling what I'm feeling. It hurts. Well, I know it hurts, but know that God is greater than your hurt. Call on his holy name continually. And then your pain will become easier to deal with. You will begin to feel your heart mending. Isaiah 57, verse 15, for this is what the high and exalted one says. He who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and lofty place, a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite. He says, I live in a high and holy place, but I also live with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. The contrite is a person who is going through a time of having guilty feelings. They show sorrow and remorse for a wrong that they may have done. You know, they have broken hearts. We can't forget that Jesus knows all the things that we are going through or could possibly go through. And he wants us to know that he's right there. He's right there with us. Jesus knows that when we are brokenhearted, when our hearts are broken, we need rest. We need rest. Because our minds are just going. We can't eat. We can't sleep. We can't enjoy ourselves because we are so full of sorrows. Our minds are exhausted. Our bodies are exhausted. Even our spirits and souls, we are totally exhausted. We truly need Jesus, and he knows that we need him. Therefore, he says to us, in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When the Lord mends your broken heart, he gives you rest, his peace, He puts you in a place of safety, joy, and assurance. Now let's go back a little bit to the Old Testament. Let's go back just a little into the Old Testament. Let's look at Sarah, Abraham's wife. Her heart was broken when she could not have a child for her husband. It really broke her heart. And she didn't want to just have a child. She wanted a son in particular. It was an emptiness within her that needed to be filled by embracing a baby. She was old and well-stricken in years, so she thought her time had passed and that she would go to her grave, not ever being able to give her husband a son, until the Lord appeared to both her and Abraham and prophesied to them. The Lord himself prophesied to them. Genesis chapter 18, verses 9 through 15. And they said unto him, that's when the Lord appeared to Abraham with the two angels with him. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And Abraham answered, behold, in the tent. And God said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. She heard what the Lord had said. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord, meaning Abraham, being old also? She laughed because the news was too good to be true. Her heart was beginning to mend just because of the thought of the good news itself. And the Lord said unto Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child, which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's what he asked. At that time, at the time appointed, the Lord reassured him. He said, at the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah will or shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. You see, she laughed from within herself, but God heard it. God knew it. And he said, nay, but thou did laugh. Sarah laughed at the thought of her having a son at her old age. But the Lord is so sensitive even to our own emotions. He knew how happy it would make Sarah to have a child, to have a son in particular. Therefore, he named her son Isaac, meaning laughter. God had to mend David's heart also. David's heart was broken, and not just David's heart, but the heart of David's army, his men. Their hearts was broken. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now, Ziklag was where David and his men lived, where their families were, and had taken the women, the Amalekites had taken the women captive and were there, that were therein, their families, in other words. They took them all captive, but he didn't slew it. They didn't slew or kill any of them. They just took them. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. When they came back, they saw their homes, their city burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. But now, you know, they didn't know if their family was alive or what. But they just saw the city was burned, and their families was nowhere to be found. Then David and the people that were with him, his army, lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They cried and cried. Their hearts was broken. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. Those were David's two wives. They were taken captive. And David was greatly distressed because the people, his army, they spoke of stoning him. They were going to stone David because they blamed all this on David, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You see, we have to do that too. Sometime when we're going through some things, even when our hearts are broken, we have to stand up and encourage ourselves in the Lord. You see, before David's heart could be mended, he had to encourage himself in the Lord. Verses 7 and 8. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, he said, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Now an ephod is a linen apron worn in ancient Hebrew rites, especially a vestment for the high priest, an ancient Hebrew instrument of priestly inquiring of the Lord. Many of them inquired of the Lord through the ephod. Therefore, David spoke to the Lord by way of the ephod, and the Lord answered him. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail recover all. The Lord answered, and David did. He recovered all. David recovered their wives and children and all that were that they had lost. His heart was mended, and the hearts of his men were mended as well. Jesus is the mender of broken hearts. He is the master when it comes to mending broken hearts. Here's another situation in Luke chapter 7, verse 12 through 16. Now when he, Jesus, came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto you, arise. He said, young man, I say unto you, arise. That's what he said. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. He delivered him to his mother because he is our deliverer. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. Now, don't you think the mother's heart was mended? Yes. Her son was back alive again. She thought she had lost him, but he was alive. Jesus is the mender of broken hearts. God will mend all of our hearts to the place that we will no longer be vulnerable to heartbreak, because the Lord our God and Father shall wipe away our tears. That means he will take away all the hurt, pain, disappointments, insecurities, fear, anguish, worry, loss, loneliness, and anger. Our hearts will be supernaturally mended. Revelation 21, verse 4. He will wipe away. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He will replace it all with his joy, his peace, his security, his happiness, his life, his mind, his safety, his love and compassion. All the hurt, pain, and crying you see now that's happening in this world will all be done away with. The glory of God will fill our hearts, minds, bodies, spirits, and souls. Keep in mind and be assured of this one thing. The mender of broken hearts is working in you right now. If you have a broken heart, if you're going through something right now, he's working in you right now. So let God, our Father in heaven, let him mend your heart right now, today, in Jesus' holy and mighty and wonderful name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. He's going to mend our broken hearts. We will be able to gaze into the eyes of the Lord, our Savior, our Creator, our Father in heaven. We will gaze into his eyes. Don't go away. We'll be back. Yes, indeed. We want to gaze into his eyes, gaze into the eyes of the Lord. Here are the scriptures for this week. You might want to write these down. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The next one is John 16, verse 33. I have told you these things, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. He says, take heart. I have overcome the world. Psalm 62, verse 8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Hallelujah. Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Well, let's just go ahead and read one more. Isaiah 57, verse 15, for this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever. This is what the one who lives forever says, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Praise God. Thank you for tuning in. I just appreciate it more than you will ever imagine. And I hope our program has been a blessing to you all as you listen in. Remember that we're here every week at 3 p.m. Pacific time. So check your time zone. It's 3 p.m. Pacific. It'll be 6 p.m. Eastern. So whatever time zone you're in, check your time zone and make sure that you dial in and don't miss these messages that's coming forth every Monday. Every Monday here at UCA Radio, where you will hear music and a message, United Christian Ambassador Radio, Ambassadors Radio. So this is your radio station because you are an ambassador for Christ. So make sure you tune in and tell everyone about it. Also tell people about Christian Talk that comes on every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. Be sure to tune in and be blessed, okay? Sometimes we have special guests. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes Tasila and I will give you a message. So tune in. You never know what's going to happen. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, for right now, we're going to have to say goodbye until next week. So you guys hang in there and be a blessing to someone throughout the week. And by God's Spirit, we'll see each other in the Spirit on Monday. Praise the Lord. Goodbye.
Time to say goodbye for now. We'll have our second time around. Before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies. gave me your love.